Hi, I'm Ross Marone, a marketer, educator, and strategist who has spent the last 20 years exploring the intersection of creativity, data, and storytelling. I built this podcast for people who want to sharpen their marketing skills, whether they're new to the field or looking to level up. You're listening to the This Is Marketing podcast. Welcome to episode one. Today, we're going to be talking all about content strategy. Now, this is an in-demand skill in the industry, and there's no signs of it going away anytime soon. More importantly, we're focusing on strategy behind the content. I think this is where a lot of confusion exists. If you have a content strategy, it's not just about posting and putting things out there. It's about posting relevant content to the audience. And as someone that has YouTube channels that are monetized and has YouTube strategies running, content is king. And content's very important when it comes to YouTube strategy because you have to serve the audience that follows you. That's what the premise is of content. That's the basic strategy to remember. Serve the audience, not the business, not your owners, not the marketing people, not the chief marketing officer. Get to your audience. Figure out what it is they want. Now, if you're just developing a content strategy, no matter what it is, and when we say content strategy, I'm really referring to website content strategy, blog content strategy, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, social media in general. The things that you do are your content pieces that get an audience to engage with you, understand your brand, whatever the messages you're trying to sell, that's the content strategy. YouTube, their basic premise, and this is really true for Google search, is to deliver the best piece of content based on the search. That is their whole business model. We want to return a result that is most relevant to you, the searcher, as quickly as possible, which they do very well, but also making sure that you're getting that content, you found what you want, and you're going to come back to Google every time to do that search. That's what they're really good at. Now that they have all these different platforms, when you're thinking of Instagram and YouTube, it's the same idea. Deliver content that matches the audience. Even if you were advertising that content, right? We're going to make a piece. We're going to put money behind it and push it out to an audience. It's not going to perform as well if the audience doesn't care about it. So your strategy really matters. And it matters more than just volume. Right now, in all of the online spaces you engage with, you're going to keep hearing people say, just post, post. TikTok strategy wants you to post 3 to 5 times a day. YouTube wants you to post frequently. It's not necessarily about the volume. Volume does matter, but the relevancy of the content itself is even more important than the volume. And if you've had a strategy that has worked in the past, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And so what we do when we start a content strategy, no matter if it's with the website or with social media, it's about identifying what platforms, I like to refer to them as vehicles a lot, but what platforms we're going to use, what channels we're going to use, to actually deliver the content. Find out if your audience exists there in the first place, right? Are they using that channel to engage with brands? Is that where they want to find you? And if so, then that's where you're gonna be found. So it's really hard to say, let's just start a simple strategy. We don't have a lot of time. We don't have a lot of money. We don't have a lot of resources. That's a reality that most businesses face, and marketing is always gonna be remaining to be the last thing that somebody wants to necessarily invest in. I think that people have to invest in it. They find a point in their time with their business that they're like, I got to go ahead and do some marketing. And that is a confusing strategy too. As somebody that's a consultant and has a kind of a side business doing marketing outside of my main marketing roles, I engage with businesses and usually the first thing I try to get to them and have a conversation about is, what are your goals? What are you trying to accomplish? Are you e-commerce? Are you trying to get people to the site? Or is it a service you're selling? Are you looking for phone call lead generation? That's where we need to start. Then we start to look at what data do you actually have already? Have you been on social media? Have you posted on different channels? And then be able to take that data and look at the analytics and say, are they engaging? Does this have high engagement rates? Then really breaking down each piece of content. What's the content that's resonating the most? What's the messaging behind it? What's the point of it? What's the call to action? Have we seen conversions take place? That becomes more about strategy. That becomes less volume, more focus on what we're doing. So here's an example. Posting 5 times a week without a goal wastes effort, right? We're spending a ton of time putting together the content, scheduling it out, editing it, putting the logos on it, color correcting, doing all the things we do with design, And then also now, if you're engaged with AI and using AI to help write, helping write is also the key phrase there, because you want to be able to ensure that AI isn't taking over your strategy. And it's not out of fear that we're going to lose our jobs, because we're never going to lose our jobs to AI as marketers. If you're in the space right now, and I understand it's new, it's still very bad. Image generation's horrible. I haven't seen too many good image generators out there. Besides the companies that are saying this is what you can do, I think they typically show images that look amazing. But if you go back and try to replicate it, it's almost laughable what it's doing. Now, am I saying that AI is not going to come a long way in the next year, 5 years, 10 years? Of course it is. I believe that 100%. But as marketers, our strategy is still to make that human connection and to get to the point where we know the content pieces that the audience wants. So rather than focusing on five times a week and posting without goals, strategy aligns content with business objectives. If the business objective is to roll out a new product, we have to launch that product in the market. We have to understand the market. We have to know where fertile ground lays to put this messaging in front of people, and then make sure that's aligned with what our expectations are with the business objective. If it's selling, we got to make sure that sales funnel works. Through the web, we have to make sure there's no roadblocks. We want to make sure we're not asking too many questions. We want to make it as easy for the end user to do what we want them to do. And the same is true for content. Make it very clear and easy to understand what it is you're asking, what it is you're telling that consumer. Here's what you're going to do because of this post. And there's a big difference between content creation and content marketing. A blog post is content creation. We've created a blog, we put it out there. A blog post with very well search engine optimization to it, a promotional plan, lead generation, call to actions, that's content marketing. It's thinking holistically about what it is we're trying to do. Now, I mentioned you have that opportunity to do a paid content strategy, but truly the investment in organic gets you a lot more longevity out of the campaigns and efforts you're putting together. So really think about the difference between making a piece of content for somebody, putting it out there, hoping that it engages with them, and paying more attention to that organic strategy. There's so many tools out there when it comes to your web presence that you can lean into to actually gain a lot of insights into users. Number one for me is always been Google Search Console. And it's part of the good Google Business Suites. And lining that up and getting that set up with your website early is going to tell you so much as you start to create content and put it out there. It also is going to give you all that search engine optimization back. It's going to tell you whether or not the blogs are working. Are users using search terms that are returning your blogs as sites or pages as results? As your social media engaging in the same way? Don't forget, social media could get picked up in search too. So you have that ability when people are now using platforms to do search. And I think what AI is going to help do is shift into pulling for more resources to one location. So I don't think we're far off from having ChatGPT have its own search engine. I don't think we're already seeing it with Google. You see it with Bing. The way they return results now, there's almost an overview explanation and it's curated from around the web. So making sure that you find that niche product or that niche area of your business that you're working with, and you're exploiting those kind of things and creating content that's relevant for searches. And Google Search Console is going to make that connection. It's going to tell you keywords that are being used, how your site's actually performing. And if you pay attention to that, it'll actually give you a roadmap for a content strategy. I'm doing this myself. I'm doing it here right now with this podcast. I went online and started searching for what are the classes that people are taking when they're going on to like a Udemy and taking these online service classes like a LinkedIn Learning. What are they studying up on when it comes to marketing? And content strategy is the number one thing right now that users are taking classes are in here in May of 2025. So for me, that little bit of result said, you know what, let's go back and build a content piece on the podcast that talks about content marketing. And so those connections are easily made, but you do have to have those things set up. Analytics alone won't show you that. Google Analytics is going to give you a little pieces of the story. You're going to be able to see what happens on your site, but really understanding what happens for them to get there. And the same is true with Google AdWords. If you're running AdWords and you have different campaigns and ad groups set up, and then all these keyword banks that are really tailored and kind of customized and niched, then you're able to go back and look at that and say, okay, what are the content keywords that people are finding this product from, and then how can we build some cornerstone content around that? Now, if you don't know what cornerstone content is, think of your main thing you're selling. And I always like to use this example. I'm going to probably use it quite a bit moving forward too, but grass cutting services. It's a service. It's not necessarily a product. It's seasonal. A lot of these companies that do grass cutting, especially where I'm from in Northeast Ohio, in the winter time, they switch over to plow and they switch over to snow removal and salting and all these things. So you kind of got a business that has two different content strategies that need to exist. It's about the upkeep and maintenance of your house and maybe your business too. But the reality is it's two different things you're playing with. It's either grass or snow. So thinking of cornerstone content, it would be the blogs that you put out or the social media posts or things like that that support the main thing it is that you do. So really think of cornerstone content as high value. It leads into a bigger piece that you're selling. It could be a product page. It could be a service page. But it's little pieces of content that kind of lead into that. And what I like to do with that is really break out keywords. So if I have two phrases that says like grass cutting services or what kind of seed should I use in my yard? Those are great examples of where the experts in it, which I'm assuming these grass cutting companies and those lawn maintenance companies are experts. They know what to use. The thing is, you have to be willing to give some of that away. Give some of that knowledge and information back to the consumer. You're going to hear that a lot. Give value, right? 80-20, 90-10, whatever your rule is, however you want to look at that. Give more than you're expecting, and then you're able to ask for that seller to ask to sign up to have them become the service for your home that cuts your grass and in the winter they plow out your driveway. Those cornerstone pieces of content are going to help build into that. So when you're thinking of that organic strategy and SEO, and that's really where I would focus my time, is building really good cornerstone pieces and using data from your environment that you're hopefully creating. And if not, that's your first step. Create an environment to collect data that you can analyze. Google Search Console, number one in my book. That's really where I always start. I go into analytics, I check our AdWords, and really your organic versus paid strategy. Organic reach might work for SEO blogs to get people there. Paid promotion may require time-sensitive campaigns. So when you think of that seasonality, it's what time periods are people looking for things? I worked with a company at one point that did kind of like fire restoration, damage, home damage, repair, things like that. And what we focused on was looking at weather patterns and seeing, okay, there's a storm coming to this area. And maybe, you know, for the most part with the water damage, we were looking at when pipes freeze. So we were looking at geographic locations, and this company was located in Massachusetts. So they were getting hammered with winter storms. And what we would do is leading into that storm, usually the day before, we would start distributing ads through AdWords, pushing it out, pipes breaking, things like that, because we knew there was a temperature drop coming. We knew that that's typically when it happens, was that overnight when things start to shift in the weather and things start to cool off in a house. And then a pipe just decides, nope, no more for me, and gives up. So we have that paid strategy where we're really targeting a timely, time-sensitive campaign. But to create organic strength in the content that we had, we would also write blogs about water services and what that process looks like. What do you expect when a pipe bursts and a company comes in? What's the timeline of it? What's the cost going to be? So now we've built content strategy that gives away free information, but we also had a paid strategy that was really timely and really focused on people and the needs that they have. That idea is very transferable to so many different companies and industries. Think of lawyers. You know, you never know when a person needs a lawyer, and they need that at a certain time. So when I would advertise for lawyers, I'm always thinking about what's the symptom that the end user has or the client has that they're looking to get. Were they arrested for something? Did they get in an accident? Did they fall? Is it a workman's comp claim? You have to build multiple ad campaigns for that, and you have to target it correctly, and you're in a very highly competitive, big time money spends. And so focusing on not only those ads as kind of like a real-time foundation to capture, but also people might be saying, you know what? I don't know how a lawyer works. I don't want to call a lawyer first. I want to understand it more. So let's build some cornerstone pieces of content that we could put out there that could be discoverable through SEO and search. and bring them in that way. Build trust. And I also think that's a very, very key component of this, especially if you're trying to sell it to a company. You know, if this is something you're adding on, maybe you got hired to do a website, or maybe you got hired to put together a digital campaign or develop a social strategy. Always upsell. Always think of what the next piece is that you can introduce. So introducing this idea of, we're going to build some blog content that's going to be a foundation. It's going to build trust with your customers. That's brand. We're helping increase the brand knowledge, increase the brand trust that a client might have with you. That's where these pieces are so, so important to do. This also becomes very evergreen for a brand. And I think that's also something to keep in mind. Is this piece of content timely for today, for this month, for this political season, whatever it is it timely for right now? Or is there longevity to it? Is this going to be relevant in a year from now? This podcast itself, this isn't my first time doing this. I had about 100 and some episodes that I had published out starting, I think, as far as 10 years ago. Evergreen in some ways. Talked about email marketing strategy. That's never going away. Print strategy, digital advertising. Those terms and things aren't going away. What has changed so much about those are the platforms, the introduction of AI in the last 10 years. That changes the entire landscape. So for me, my evergreen podcast content really was starting to fall by the wayside for me. So I thought, you know what? It's time to rejuvenate this. It's time to bring it back. And it's time to start with a newer strategy. And honestly, 5-10 years from now, this podcast itself, this episode may be irrelevant. But what we want to focus on in the meantime is creating some content that I do know is going to have some evergreenness to it. So that's part of your content strategy, building content that's relevant and that it has evergreen attributes to it. One thing that I also think is vital, and this is kind of aside from the content itself, it's the strategy behind the tools you're going to use, the calendaring, the cadence. All of that needs to be built and thought ahead of time. So often I myself am guilty of this. I get an idea or I read about something that's new or a new technology comes out and I jump right on it and I start using it and kind of invest everything that I've done in the past into this new thing. And I really roll the dice on it and expect it to be the thing that I'm going to use for quite the next several years. And it's going to work for me. But the reality is that those programs, you know, they look flashy and fun to begin with. And then you get into it and you find the nuances about it and the things, the last program you were using that did it better. And so when you run into those kind of things too, be very conscious of how you're going to actually build themes, the different formats you're going to use. You know, at the beginning of this, we talked about identifying what pieces of content really resonate with your audience. So if it's video, lean into the video strategy. If it's photography, if it's really well-written posts and blogs, lean into those things. Or maybe it's a combination. But we know every time we add a piece of content onto this, so if we're going to make a multi-purpose piece, maybe it's a whole campaign, but we're going to have audio to it, video, imagery, we're going to have multiple platforms and channels we're distributing it out on. What's the timing of that? So build a content calendar, not only for publishing, but for production. And give yourself the time it takes to get into the production and really make sure that what you're about to put out is very, very polished. So allowing that buffer in there, allowing yourself to work ahead, build a content calendar that has maybe 1 to 3 months of runway for you with some spots in there for some, you know, kind of versatile off the cuff things that you're going to put together, but build a strategy that gives you that longevity. And if you're working with a client, that's also the mindset and the conversation you should be having in the first meeting. Set the expectations of what it is you're going to do and how you expect to do it and give yourself the time to do it. I know, and you probably experience this too, if you're a client forward facing marketer, working with clients, total nightmare. Not fun, not usually enjoyable. You could work with enjoyable products, but it's not always the people that are enjoyable. And what I mean by that is that sometimes you could get, first of all, stiffed on money, which is never fun to have to deal with. Been there, done that. Also, the timeliness of response, not only for them, but for you. So, you know, as marketers, we have multiple things we're usually doing all at once, working with 5 clients. Maybe you're doing a bunch of production stuff, but you have some deadlines to hit. And so creating an expectation of buffering in time is very, very important, especially when you complete something and you send it to the client, you're hoping to get that feedback right away. Maybe you buffered some time into your day to work on changes and edits, and a month goes by and you didn't get a response. It's a reality of working and doing client work, but it's also something that set that expectation ahead of time. And make sure that in a contract, those things are noted. If you're not working with contracts, I highly recommend doing it. You could find stuff online and make it your own. You could work with AI to produce a contract, but keep those details of the expectations that are going to be out there. When you do that correctly, then you do develop a cadence. And cadence is really important, not only for the platforms and your users, the end users at the end of the day. You're creating a sense of when things are going to come out from this business. It's important to be consistent with that. It doesn't mean you always have to be consistent, but consistency is very important for when people expect things. I follow a lot of YouTube channels. I follow a lot of people, and I know when they publish their content. I know when to look for it. So it's always in the back of my head that on Sundays, I'm going to see content from this user. On Mondays, I'm going to see this. So that cadence is not only for you and your business and the business cycle you're working within, but it's about the end user and the expectations of what they want from that business. Don't overdo it. Do it too much. I don't know. It really, the data is going to tell you that story. And also the platform is going to tell you this story. So when you're thinking of content, you're thinking of strategy, but really think of strategy about what it is you're making. And then secondary to that is the strategy behind deployment. Where is it going? How are we going to measure it? Have everything in place. That is so important. Don't just jump in head first and start doing stuff, even though by nature, that's kind of what we have to be as marketers. We have to be agile. We have to be willing to shift and go from one thing to the next. But think through everything. Think of all the touch points we need to measure, all the conversions we're going to be expecting, and then build everything around that. That's what content strategy is about. It's about holistically thinking through campaigns, the business you're working with, and thinking of all the different things you can do, but then putting yourself on the other end of that. Put yourself on the other end of the marketing and be the receiver of it. And ask yourself, was this post clear? Do I know what I need to do with this if I know nothing about this business? If the answer is no, rework it right away. Get on it. Do some A/B testing. There's a lot of platforms that offer that. Try things. That's what content strategy is about. And then when you do find something that works, replicate it. Just start replicating maybe the type of post. If it's videos resonating really well, let's make more videos. Yeah, it takes a lot more time, takes a lot more resources and money, but when we have that and that's what our audience wants from us, lean into it. The same thing goes for the type of content you're producing. If you're doing video content, are you doing rough edits? Are you really polishing it up? Are you taking the time to go through the audio and listen and make sure there's no pops or hiss or anything in it? Are you looking at the color correction of the video itself? Is there a consistent flow in the story and the messaging? Those are all things that content-wise matters to the video, but as an overall strategy, how does that video work? Really, really think about those things. Write them down. Make little case studies for yourself about every business, every industry. Find those consistencies and then lean into them. You do this, you're going to start to develop a great content strategy, and you're going to really execute on things the way the business wants to. So pay attention to it, really think about it. So let's go back real quick. What are the five things we just talked about, right? Strategy matters more than just volume. That's number one. We got to build a strategy. We don't just have to post. We want to post meaningful, relevant content. There is a difference between content creation and content marketing. A blog post is a content creation. A blog post with good SEO, a promotional plan, lead generation, call to actions, that's content marketing. Organic and paid content strategies. Organic reach is great for SEO and blogging, but you do need to consider the idea that paid promotions might get you new eyeballs. It might get you into a time-sensitive campaign, such as the one we were doing for the fire restoration, water restoration. Time-sensitive matters. Evergreen content. We want to make sure our content has some shelf life to it. We want to understand that an example of what is content marketing is an evergreen blog versus 2025 marketing trends, which is not. So evergreen content, very important to think about. And then also, and last but not least, content calendaring. Find that cadence, find the themes, find the formats that work for you, and make sure that's aligned very well with the business cycle and the business expectations. You do all these things, you're going to be in the right direction on the content strategy. But what I haven't mentioned, and I'm going to say right now, because this is the most important and final thing I will say about content strategy, be patient. Be patient in what it is you're doing. SEO takes time. Google ad strategies, take time. You have to let things run, let the internet do what the internet does, and then evaluate the data and make your changes and adjustments. Now, if you like this podcast, I appreciate you listening, number one. But if you like this podcast, subscribing is going to be the easiest way to get updates and new episodes from me. I'm not sure what my posting cadence myself is going to look like, just because I have 1,000 different things going on in my life right now. But I am anticipating to try to get one of these out at least a week consistently moving forward. So if you like this podcast, make sure you hit that subscribe button. If you have something you'd like to say to me, there's some contact information all over this. Reach out to me. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Marone. Shoot me a message there. I'd love to hear ideas for upcoming. If you have a question or something you want answered, I'm here to answer them. So feel free to do that. Once again, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.